Aloha, friends. You are joining me, Mel, for part two of 6-Bit Storybooks Podcast, episode 10. We had the first part launch, and it covered a very interesting array of yarn attributes and classifications. And in this next segment, you can hang on to that handy-dandy download, and you can continue on this investigative journey with my guest, Stephanie, and I. If you are joining in and you have not yet listened to part one of episode 10, I encourage you now to do just that. If you've already listened to part one, mahalo nui loa for giving us your time, and I know that you are going to be richly encouraged and helped in this second bit of the podcast. Again, this is kind of a once in a blue moon thing to have happen, but it was just such great content that I didn't want to cut a bunch out. I felt like it was great to have this opportunity with Stephanie. And I also didn't want you to have to wait. I don't know if you're like me, but when I listen to something and someone says, hey, we'll cover the rest of this in next week's episode, I am just dying for next week's episode. Well, our next week episode, we are going to be visiting with an entirely different person. So this week really needed to be put together. And so enjoy part two now, and do stick around to the end of the podcast where we will reveal the special winner of the iTunes review, and they are going to receive some fabulous yarn, and I will tell you how you can be entered for the next time. Okay, so Stephanie, you covered a lot of information in the first part where we were kind of understanding a common language. And we left off just really trying to get our heads around the multiple things that go into dyeing yarn. You can have solids, semi-solids, tonals, crazy tonals, where they start leading into and hopping around. That gives us the variegated. The variegated can be sort of subtle, or as you call them, gently variegated, and then the wildly variegated. And I'd like to kind of unpack for listeners really quickly. When we left off, you had just talked about how the length of color really determines the way it plays up. Shorter bursts actually give a cohesive look. Longer bursts, you tend to notice where one starts and one stops. Now, is that what they call pooling?
Yeah. Well, there's different terms. There's pooling. There's pooling and flashing. But the longer color repeats can do a number of different things. They can do striping. I mean, self-striping yarns are just yarns with very, very long color repeats. We're talking about color repeats that go on for many feet as opposed to inches. And so if you knit them in a tube, you'll, like a sock, you'll get stripes. But if you were to take those exact same yarns and try to knit a sweater out of them, then you would get pooling and flashing, which is where you get these kind of weird, irregular shapes where the color all kind of comes together in one big clump. And then it moves on to another. And sometimes you even get argyle patterns, which is very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here squeezing one of my yarns from you. It's the one we talked about was Fire. I said Firebird. You said no.
Firebrand.
And I'm thinking, wow, that's kind of neat how she just threw that dye right there and she rubbed some dye right there and she dipped it over here. And, you know, just thinking of how all the different color is brought to this yarn and kind of makes this creation. And to think that you can actually start really going even geekier with the math and measuring out lengths, self-stripings. And I'm thinking that the argyle would be like all kinds of ninja skills that I couldn't even fathom.
It takes all kinds of ninja skills, and it actually takes some very, very specialized equipment to be able to do self-striping, because you have to take your skeins, and instead of dyeing them in a regular skein-length skein, you mm-hmm. have to rework it into something that is very, very long so that you can get those long areas of color.
So have you any inclination, and I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, would you love to try self-striping? Is that something that's never out beyond your reach? I know you love playing with color. But that I don't think is just playing with color. That's playing with color and then...
Well, there's playing with color and there's planning color.
Yes. Okay, thank you. That's a better way of...
Yeah. And you can ask my family. I'm not known as a planner.
You could ask me.
I would rather just go into the studio and just get busy. I just want to stand in front of the dye pots and get busy. And having to stand in front of a warping board or something else and lengthening out all these skeins so that it's something I would love to do if I had the patience to do the prep work. But mm-hmm. for me, the real joy is just in standing right there in front of the color and just. I just want to get going. I don't have the patience to do all the prep work.
Well, plus, I mean, that's kind of when you learn what your style is. Your style is you're more free flowing, you know, like somebody who would be watercolors. Right, and then, right. you know, just because you love color, you know, you're playing with watercolors, you might not necessarily want to do calligraphy, even though they're both artistic and they're both beautiful. You're going to want to stick where you're being fed and it's not something you're forcing on yourself.
And you have to do the things that come to you naturally and that excite you as a fiber artist. And I have friends who do single skein gradients, and that takes a particular type of prep work. And I have friends who do beautiful self-striping, and that takes, as I said, a lot of prep work. And that is what really speaks to them as fiber artists and really gets their juices flowing. And so I can leave that. I can quite happily leave that to them mm-hmm. and know that they're going to do that beautifully. And then I can go off and do the thing that really gets my juices flowing as a fiber artist. And
absolutely.
It's different. And it's fun because then we go to something like TNNA and we all meet up and we can talk about things knowing that we're not actually stepping on each other's toes, because as artists, we are in different spaces, if you know what I mean, like different
absolutely.
Headspaces.
And you know what? Everybody needs to be able to express their unique qualities in their unique ways. And
right.
So I'm really excited. So if you're just joining in right now, we have an extended episode 10, where we are chatting with our dear friend, Stephanie Alford, the head space cadet and dyer at Space Cadet Yarn. She's prepared a PDF, and we introduced this whole topic in episode 10, part 1. This is 10 part 2. So if you are just joining in, it may behoove you to listen to the first one. But if you want to just join in right where you are, simply text to number 44222 the word Space Cadet Yarn, all one word, SpaceCadetYarn. And that will give you the PDF that we're referring to. And what's really awesome is, Stephanie, you're giving us little bits of things that you are really immersing yourself into to study and discover about yarn to help us as knitters and to also help us as yarn consumers. I mean, we, of course, knit. We need needles. We need yarn. And it is very helpful when we have a solid understanding as to what it is that we're involved with. So I really appreciate you taking your time to put this together. And then I'm rather excited. I hope I'm not letting the cat too far out of the bag, but you are actually digging in deep and really studying this whole idea of a color story. And your big grand plan is to create a fabulous ebook for people eventually. Is that true?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Is that okay to tell people, or am I going to edit this out?
Well, you've done it now.
There's the power of editing. It makes me sound so much smarter when I can get my producer to edit these things.
Because these are questions that come up over and over and over again when I talk to customers at shows. And I just suddenly thought, you know what? All of this needs to go into a nice ebook that they can sit down and flip through as they're knitting and educate themselves, educate sounds a bit highfalutin, but just to come to a more full understanding of the colors that they are working with. And, you know, as I said, whenever somebody falls in love with knitting or crochet, they school themselves up on different types of yarn, different weights of yarn, different types of fiber, and they most of the knitters and crocheters I know, they know their fingerings from their lace weights, from their bulkies, and they know their merino from their BFL, mm-hmm. from their silk. But they don't know as much about color and how different types of color in yarn is going to play out in their knitting or their crochet. And so a lot of times the colorways they buy can can kind of throw them for a loop if it doesn't come out as what they were expecting. And yet, by understanding color and colorways and how things are dyed, you can predict how a yarn is going to behave with as much accuracy as you can predict how the fiber content is going to affect how a yarn behaves. So I think it's a really good thing for people to understand the color of their yarn just as much as they understand the construction of their yarn. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to put all of this into an ebook. So that's what I'm working on now. And that will come out and hopefully will be a good sort of 7-8 chapters of not heavy reading.
Yeah, and that's what I like about this is you give us short bits of understanding to apply, and then you give us a visual. And you've also created a page for us to land and kind of look around on your site and see other examples in a very friendly, hey, welcome friends, not anything that's too deep, not anything that is confusing. I think it's great to hear and then see. And ultimately, the more we know about our craft, our art, the better we will be. And we can find that, of course, either by doing things hands-on, which is fantastic. And if you are the type that you don't mind, you know, buying a yarn and playing with it and trying to really study it yourself. But I think you can do that and still benefit from having this free download. So if you're joining us again, you can totally text the word space cadet yarn, no spaces, to 44222. Or if you are not in the U.S., because that's something you can do in the U.S., just head over to www.6bitstorybooks.com and download the PDF there. And what's really awesome, and I do this all the time when I'm listening to podcasts that they have it, if you're listening to us on your iPhone in the podcasts, you can click on the actual episode where we are and the little dot, dot, dots for more information about the show notes. And in it, there'll be a link and you can just click on that link and it'll take you right there where we are. You can look at your PDF on your iPad, on your desktop, on your phone as we're chatting, because today we really wanted to make it more of an Ohana community story style where it's not just me talking with Stephanie, but you guys are as much a part of this. We've spent a lot of time trying to flesh out some ideas and we want you guys to take advantage of it. So
interactive.
Yes, interactive. So for interactive, that brings us to the fact that we have such awesome technology nowadays, which as a dyer, I think it is a blessing and a curse. And
it
if
is.
You don't mind sharing with us a little bit about both of those angles and what in the world could it have anything that would be anyway negative as an impact. I mean, you know,
absolutely.
You know, how could that be? You know, the better the quality of the computer, isn't that better for you, Stephanie? So maybe let's talk about that.
Well, you know, every time a computer company introduces their latest computer or phone or device or tablet or whatever, they talk about the screen and how amazing it is, and it's a Retina screen, or it's the colors are jumping off the screen. And that's fantastic. And it means that when you snap your vacation photos on your phone, you're like, I am the most amazing photographer because my photos, they just look incredible, right? Your sunsets look unbelievable. And if only they made everyone look skinnier. Or
for me, it's taller. If it could give me another 4.5 inches, I'd be rocking it.
Yeah, that should be like in your settings on your phone. How do you want your pictures? I would like to... my pictures to take 20 pounds off me, you would like them to put 4 inches on you.
Yeah.
I wish that were a setting.
Give it time, girl. Give it time.
But they do make our photos look incredible. I often take photos and I'm like, I do. I think I in the last, you know, 2 years, I have become the most amazing photographer. And it's because it's not me. It's my phone has this incredible screen that makes colors look unbelievable. But as wonderful as that is for your vacation photo, it can actually be very, very misleading when you are looking at purchasing yarn on the internet. And as somebody who's, you know, I don't think of myself really as somebody who sells yarn so much as somebody who sells color. I sell color. And so it is incredibly important to me as a dyer and a vendor of color to be representing my colors on screen, that my colors are true. They need to be true to what the yarns actually look like. And I spend an enormous amount of time. I take my photos. I control the lighting when I take my photos. I don't mix temperatures of light. I check my settings in my phone. I get the photos as true as I can in the phone. Then I take them over to the computer and I look at them again. I got the yarn right there next to my computer. I'm looking at my screen. I've adjusted the settings on my screen so that it is as true as it can be. And then I work with the photos to make sure that I'm really getting a very, very true image.
Well, let's take a second because some of us are listening and we're knitting as we're listening to you. And you know, when you're knitting, you kind of zone in and zone out. And here you are talking about something and it's kind of deep. And so I'd like to just stop and say, okay, I'm here. I think I'm here. You're sharing with me the fact that you take a picture of your yarn and you look at it in the camera and you are then looking at the image from your camera. And you're seeing the yarn and you're seeing that they kind of jive, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then when you download that image or upload that image into your computer and you're working on your desktop, you're seeing there's going to be a change.
Well, not necessarily that there's going to be a change. In this particular case, the change that I'm going to talk to you about is not the change from my camera to my computer, because the screen on my camera is – camera screens are not amazing high quality. They are good enough quality to make sure that you are getting the shot that you're supposed to get. The quality that you see on your screen when you download the images to your computer, that's really the one that you want to pay attention to. So it's like what's in your camera as a photographer is a preview of sorts, as opposed to you really find out what you're getting when you put it into your computer. But what is the difference that I think that is most important is particularly between the difference between computer screens and, generally speaking, phone and tablet screens, because the technology with phones and tablets is always rushing headlong towards these more vibrant, more saturated, more stunning images. Computers, yes, they do that as well, but manufacturers are really going headlong with tablets and with phones to do it. And my assistant and I were looking at, so we've been looking at the colorways page mm-hmm. in the first half of this podcast. We were looking at the Space Cadet colorways page. And this was something that I created a few months ago, and I was really proud of it. And I was showing it to my assistant. We were talking about the different colors and whether we had a good balance of colors. And I was looking at it on the computer, and I turned the computer to her, and then I checked it on my phone to see that it was coming out the same way, like the same configuration on my phone. And I held my phone up to my computer to say, you know, oh, look, it puts this colorway up near the top, but it's putting it kind of on the side on my phone. And she went, oh, my gosh.
What color is that?
And we looked at it, and when you hold your phone against your computer, the difference in the color is kind of shocking. I mean, shocking. We were both like, whoa.
And you know what? I'm going to get even more meta for you, because okay. I just had Firebrand, which we talked about in the last part one, mm-hmm. Which is a yarn that we described. It's from the Yarn Alliance Club that I got. But there's an image of it, Firebrand, on one of your pages. Right. And I have it in my hand. And so I took a picture of it next to it. And now I'm looking at it next to my phone, the actual image of it being held next to the computer, and I'm holding the image on my phone of the two next to the computer, and you can see a difference from the picture I took of the computer and the actual yarn. And I'm gonna share that with folks and let them see it too. But it's crazy to see how the color, she's not making this up. We're going to have you guys interact a bit more, because I remember when you first told me, you're like, there's a change. And I'm like, whatever. My iPhone is so on it. And, you know, you get that little big head moment where you're like, blah, blah, blah. But you've actually had people where you're just like, my phone is so right. And she's been sleeping
actually,
too much
of
that
incredibly,
dye.
It is incredibly important because, as I said, I sell color, and it's important to me that the colors that I present to my customers are true to what they're actually going to get when they open their box, their parcel. And so I work very hard to make sure that I'm looking at the yarn and it's right next to my computer, and I'm trying to make sure that the image and the reality align so that I am showing my customers what they're actually going to get. And then I have had people come to me and say, the yarn that arrived doesn't look like the yarn on my screen. And when I say, what screen are you looking at? Very often it's a phone or a tablet, and the image is enhanced. And if it's enhanced, then it isn't true to what color looks like in real life. And it makes for beautiful holiday pictures, beautiful vacation photos, but it makes it very difficult for people to accurately buy yarn. And so I have an exercise for everyone who is listening to this. Okay. You've been looking at the Space Cadet Colorways page, and you can see them all right there in front of you. And you're either looking on your phone or your tablet, or you're looking on your computer. And so I want you to then open up the other device. So if you're on your phone or your tablet, go and open your computer and go to the same page and look at it on there. Or if you're on your computer, whip out your phone and go to the same web page and hold the two of them side by side. Now, if you are using all Apple devices, if you have a Mac computer and you have an iPhone and they both have Retina screens, you probably will not see a difference between them. But if you have a PC and an iPhone, or you have
PC. Who even does that? No, I'm just kidding. I'm only teasing you because
I do. If you have a PC and an Android phone, or if you have a Mac computer and an Android phone, hold them up side by side and look at the same colorways. And the one that really made my assistant kind of jump out of her skin is called Stroppy. If you look at it, you see a green. It's in the green section.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's Stroppy. Stroppy, apparently nobody in the U.S. Do you know what
it is? Yes, I know the term Stroppy, but I didn't see it. I was like trying to find it on my computer. But
does Stroppy mean? Stroppy is what your teenagers are when they're in a bad mood. Yeah. Not Stroppy.
But Steph, I got to tell you, mm-hmm. I have a desktop. It's the newest iMac desktop. Mm-hmm. And I'm using that one. So I've got this big screen and I've got the new iPhone.
Okay.
And I'm holding Stroppy next to Stroppy, and mm-hmm. I don't have another device that I can take a picture of it. But my phone Stroppy and your Stroppy, your image Stroppy.
On your computer screen.
Yeah, it's different. It's so different.
It is so different. And actually, on a phone, Stroppy looks downright radioactive.
Yeah, I was going to say it's much more subdued on the screen, and right. on my phone I'm just like, why isn't this like blow my mind neon green?
Right. And it's funny actually, cuz I mean my assistant pointed to it and she's like, "Look, it's Stroppy." And I said, "I don't think we could achieve that color without dropping uranium in the dye bath." And I am not going to go and source any uranium to put in my dye bath. But and it's funny, actually, because I talked about this with one of my customers. And she said to me, I thought this was really interesting, that she had a skein of my yarn and she wanted to find a coordinating color. So she pulled it up on her iPhone and she's holding the yarn in her hand and she's looking at the colorways on her phone, and she couldn't find anything that she liked, because there were a few that she thought maybe, but she kept thinking no, because they're way brighter than the actual yarn I'm holding. They're not going to go together. And then she came home later that evening and she decided to look again, but this time she was actually sitting on her computer, and she ended up buying the same colors that she had been thinking about that day, but they looked better to her when she was on her computer. They looked like they would match. So she went ahead and bought them. And I was talking to her, and when I was explaining this difference between different types of screens and how they affect it, and she was like, "You know, I didn't even think about it. The first time I was looking on my iPhone and the second time I was looking on my computer." And then she, you know, I sent the yarn to her and she was happy with it because it was the right brightness that it went with the skein she already had. But her initial thought when she was looking on her iPhone was, these will never go together. So this is something really, really important. As these screens continue, I mean, this was not a problem 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I never had any questions about this 3 years ago. But as these screens in the last few years have marched towards enhancing photographs, and that's really what they're doing. They're brighter, they're more intense, and they're far more beautiful, and that's a great thing. But when you're going to buy yarn or handbags, shoes, pouches, hair color, whatever it is that you're buying, oh my goodness, you might think that you're getting, you know, uranium enhanced neon blue, and it comes in and it's nothing like that, you know, for your hair. You might be very disappointed. You might not be the punk that you thought you were. But anytime that you're buying something over the internet using a device that is designed to make colors look amazing and vibrant and intense, I think it really is important for people to be aware that that might not be giving you a really true to life color. And you can't, you really don't understand that until you hold your phone on the same page. Go to the Colorways page, hold your phone right next to the screen, look at Stroppy.
Well, even with, and perhaps it's because it's a different base, I'm looking at your Space Cadet Colorways page with all of them. And I do like how you can go through and you can do all of them, semi-solid, gently variegated. But I think that's a cool feature as I'm playing around with it. And it's fun. It's nice to go to a site and play around and have fun. But I'm looking at what we are using. And here's a spoiler alert for those of you who are subscribing to Dwell for the next issue. Fathoms down. So we have Fathoms. We've got an image of Fathoms. And I remember you and I going back and forth quite some time ago, back and forth and back and forth, because that was kind of fitting in with our color board. But when I received it, and it is on a heavier worsted weight, where this, I believe, is on, it looks almost like it's on Lyra, the second picture.
The base second Lyra. Picture is Lyra. Mm-hmm. When you scroll over it, you see Lyra. When you don't scroll over it, you see Celeste.
Okay, so
and as, they take the color very differently.
They do, and I know we had a nice conversation about that, which I still would like Lyra in that color. But I have that color here, and looking at it, it's definitely got some movement and some changes in it, as does Feather as well, I think. Yes. And so it's interesting to see once you get it in hand. It's not that you're tricking anybody. It's just that it's the monitor. It's different. So,
well, actually, when you mentioned Feather, so Feather sits on the colorway page right next to another colorway called Phrygia. And Phrygia is a very, very, very pale ice blue.
Oh yeah, that's the other one we've got into Well, and it's definitely
it's a gorgeous ice blue. It's like something out of the movie Frozen. Mm-hmm. And Feather is a. It's not so much a teal. I don't know how to describe it, actually, but it's
says dusty, muted, and yet still vibrant.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. It is a dusty.
That's how I would describe it if I was reading it off the page.
Actually, that's a perfect description. I was going to say it was kind of muted, and then I was like, no, it's not at all muted. It's still vibrant, but that is exactly what it is. But if you're looking at those two on your computer screen, you will see that they are blue, particularly Phrygia. You'll see that it's blue. Look at it on your phone. And my assistant pointed this out. She said, but Phrygia looks green.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We had that same issue. And in fact, when...
Because you were saying to me, but I don't want a green. And I was like, trust me, it's not green. But on your phone, it looks green. And the reason is they've added warmth. And that makes your sunset pictures look amazing. Mm-hmm. But warmth turns a blue slightly green. And if you're trying to buy blue, if you're like, you know what, for this project, I want an icy blue, which someone might want an icy blue. They look on the screen, they're on their phone, they're going to go, oh, that's nice, but it's an icy green. Yeah. It's not a green. It's just a screen.
So the takeaway from this is not so much, or maybe, and you can correct me, of course, I'm always needing to be corrected, but listeners, as we're sitting here and we're taking this in, and we know that it always says in fine print, you know, it may be slightly different than your monitor. It's going to be slightly different, not only from your monitor, but from your one monitor to the other monitor to the other monitor.
Yes.
So the takeaway is there's really not a whole lot that we can do, is there? Is it just to be aware of this? What are some takeaways from this discussion that...
Well, the first takeaway is to realize that... is to be aware of it. Sure. And to know that when you are buying things online... anything, not just yarn, but when you're buying anything online, what you see on your screen is influenced as much by your screen settings as it is by what the actual color is. Now, in truth, as I said, when I photograph, I do everything in my power to make the images as true to reality as they possibly can be. But I have no control over how each of my customers has set the settings on their monitor or how their manufacturer has set the settings, or whether their manufacturer has decided to go towards screen settings that really enhance photos and therefore might not be true. But I think one thing that we can do, because we can't do anything about the fact that every monitor shows color slightly differently, but what we can do is, you know, if you're thinking to yourself, I want to knit a sweater and I want it to be a nice green, and you're not overly particular about the green, then by all means, look online, pick your green, buy it, have a great time. But if you are really, really, really wanting to get a certain type of green or a certain type of blue, then check it on your phone, but check it on your computer as well. Check it on a couple of things and hold them side by side just to make sure that you're kind of getting, it's almost like you're buying the average between the two.
Oh, yeah. So you at least have a broader understanding, kind of like just this conversation. You know what? Just you may never knit with wildly variegated yarn, but now you have an understanding. When you look at it, you can appreciate it a bit better. We can appreciate the differences in the colors as well. You know what? I like the fact that you took the time to put this stuff together for us and that we've been able to go to the colorway site and kind of play around and see things. Something that I think is really neat that I've never noticed before, this is full disclosure here. I spend a lot of time working with Stephanie and looking at her yarn, but I just noticed, and maybe this, I'm hoping you're going to say, oh no, this is something I just added yesterday. When I scroll over the variegated, those crazy ones, or maybe not crazy. I don't want to keep
wildly. Go with wildly.
Because it's not really on the gently. When I go with the variegated button, it is really helpful to me to see, like, on Windswept, you give us inspired by Mars blues, pools of windswept volcanic sediment. Coordinates with headstrong drizzle and troublemaker. Molten cool, after you give the information, like flowing lava, glowing and intense, hot and cool. Underneath of it, you put coordinates with troublemaker feather or honey. What I think is that is super helpful, because then I can go back and I can look at honey and I see the color that is, and then I see the color that this has in it, and it just kind of helps me, because it is difficult for people. Well, it is difficult for people like me, or for me, to sometimes think, you know what, I like that, and I hear what you're saying, maybe try it as a pocket, maybe try it as a collar, but if I got it, what even would be the next place that I could, you know, put it, you know, where do I go from there? What do I match it with?
Yes.
Instead of just natural. So it's kind of cool that you have that feature too.
Oh, I'm glad you like that, actually. It isn't something that I did just yesterday. It has been on there for a while, but I understand that
you bring me down, don't you? You just got to bring me down. No, I'm just kidding.
I understand that you have steered probably fairly far away from things like windswept. I know that that's way too variegated for you. But I'm actually, it's funny, I was talking about this the other day, and I'm going to, for each of these, if you click on them, it pops up with an image of the whole colorway, which I actually need to fix some of these, because I accidentally put in pictures that were smaller. They need to be larger. But what I'm actually going to do, if you look at like windswept and it says it coordinates with headstrong, drizzle, and troublemaker, I am going to, on that larger image that pops up, I'm going to put smaller images of headstrong, troublemaker,
helpful,
so that they're right there next to it, and you can compare them side by side and think, yeah, actually, I like this wildly variegated with headstrong. I'm going to get those two to go together, and then you can make something. You can use those variegateds in the way that I love to see them used, when they're combined with a semi-solid and they're used as some sort of really cool accent.
Yeah. Okay. I do need to let listeners know. Okay, guys, I know we're all friends here, so I want to make sure that you guys aren't like going to be like hating me and sending me stories of, Mel, you sent me down this hole, because this is me too. I'm sitting here as you're talking, and I have been listening to you. But I have been actually playing with the different colors too. And I'm just like, I actually want to now go shopping. And so I'm looking at Thrive. So if anybody else is on here with me as you're listening, check out Thrive. Well, first I have to say, I'm not usually a pink person after many, many years of ballet and in the ballet. The pink, I usually see pink and I'm like, although I say that, and we did Moana Kea and Tickle, which was funny. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at Thrive on the second image, which is Lyra, which is, of course, one of my favorite bases ever. And I am in love. Like, I want to now just stop talking to you so I can go and shop the yarns. And I'm looking at sport, because that's what Lyra is. And I'm actually going to look at you. Should be down. Thrive died to order. Okay. When it says died to order in a person like me, is like me. How long does it take you to make the yarn?
Oh, if we started today.
Yeah, because you're talking
right now,
in real time,
and
I want it.
We had no other orders, nothing in the queue. It would probably take about 5 days, because you have to prep the yarn, you have to dye it, then it has to sit and dry, and depending on the humidity in the air and the season, that can take one day or it can take up to 3 days. And you can't rush that or you'll end up with mildewy smelling yarn, which is just awful. Mm-hmm. And then it has to be final prepped, which is the choke ties have to be tightened, it has to be twisted, and it has to be tagged. And by the time, that's a minimum. I mean, if there were nothing else in the dyeing queue, that's at least 5 days, which surprises people. I think I've had people sort of order things dyed to order, and I think they think it's going to get in the mail to them like in 2 or 3 days. And it's physically not possible to do it, even if I had nothing else to dye. It's physically not possible to do it. But generally what we say allow 4 to 6 weeks, and that's because we usually have quite a dyeing queue, but we always aim to beat that. And very often we can get yarn out in 2 weeks, even with things in the dyeing queue.
Yeah. So there's still time to get it for the holidays.
Yes, there is. And especially, and this is the other thing, that if it is something for the holidays, we always appreciate either an email afterwards or a note on the order. There's a place to leave a note to say this is a holiday gift, because we will always do our very best to dye those and get those out. And we know that there are other people who are just buying yarn and they aren't against that deadline of the holidays. So that's always good to know.
Well, this has actually been quite a holiday treat, because as we are going shopping and looking for projects for the new year, I think understanding color, not just the way to qualify it and give it a good title and a working definition, but also the understanding of, hey, you know what I see on screen. Oh my gosh, Stephanie really wasn't trying to trick me. You know, it's the internet.
The yarn is not actually radioactive.
Right, right. Yeah, I know. I was looking at the lemons, the One Life Gives You Lemons, or So Life Gives You Lemons. I have that.
That looks like we dropped uranium in the water for that one as well.
Yeah, but it is actually, as I'm looking at it on my screen of my desktop and my phone, for me, I've used it before, and I've got that Gimme 20 scarf, which listeners got that free pattern last week when they were listening. That is a brighter one than it's appearing on my monitor, and it's more akin to the one that's on my phone. And I know that personally because I've used it.
It is a very, very bright colorway. But again, that shows that what you're seeing on your screen, you really have to take with a grain of salt.
Yeah, it's kind of like the essence of what the color is about versus the actual.
Mm-hmm. And there's no way for us from here to control the customer's screen.
Sure, yeah, so. Absolutely. That's completely understandable. So actually a good way to be would be to connect with you guys in person, because you do actually do shows. Do you have another show at all?
We do. We are prepping at the moment for Stitches West in February in San Francisco. I think it's February 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Is it San Fran? It's not San Diego.
San Diego is in January. It's TNNA, and that's the industry trade show.
Okay.
So we are heading out to California twice, once in January and once in February.
Which
is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to Stitches. I'm going with a group of other dyers from the East Coast, and we're all shipping our stuff together in one truck, which is wonderful, because otherwise the logistics of getting out to the West Coast is really hard. And so we're doing that together. I'm super excited about going. I have heard such good things about Stitches West. So if you are on the western side of the country and you want to go and have a fabulous time at one of the biggest shows of the year, please, please, please come and see us at Stitches West. We would love to meet you. We never get to meet our West Coast customers, and so this is super cool.
It's a big deal. So this is going to be not gently variegated. This is in a wildly variegated.
we're gonna take everything. And actually, we have been dying like crazy in preparation, which is probably why at the moment your Thrive is dyed to order, because we have just been gearing up so much for these shows that we've got coming up.
I'm just going to maybe send a special behind-the-scenes text message to the lady that owns the company and see if I can't get her to shove a few things.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh my gosh, strike now when the iron's hot. I cannot believe I even looked at Thrive. I mean, Thrive has, guys, if you're looking at this, friends, it actually has pink and gray and yellow at the same time on the same skein. And I'm actually not, like, twitching. I think it's because we are generally leery, and I will be brave enough to say I get scared of things that I don't fully understand when it comes to yarn. People, I have no problem talking to somebody who is completely different than me. Holding something in my hand and trying to create with it, I need it to do and behave and kind of fit in the right cube that I need because I have plans for it. When I meet a person, I don't really have plans for somebody other than I know everybody I meet, I'm going to be their friend. You know, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is a great opportunity. With yarn, it's a tool, it's a device. It's what an artist uses when they're creating, and we're all artists. So we need to really be well-versed on our tools. And I think that can only help us. So I'm really excited about this PDF that you've shared. I totally appreciate your time doing an extended version of episode 10 for us. I hope that listeners have had a great time. And I know they feel a bit more connected with you. They're going to meet you further in issue 2, 3, and 4 of Six Bit Storybooks. They can find you on Twitter as
Space Cadet Yarn.
And surprise, surprise, they can find you on Ravelry as?
Actually, on Ravelry, I'm Space Cadet Creates, which I should probably change to Yarn as well. But it isn't, so don't anyone get confused. Yes, Space Cadet Creates.
Okay. And you're also on Instagram as?
Space Cadet Yarn.
Okay. And we will have those helpful links for you guys to connect with Stephanie more further. Because, again, the idea of this podcast is not for you all to listen. It's to be engaged. I think Stephanie would love to meet
Absolutely.
You. And I bet if they had ideas for other things that you could, you know, answer questions and educate us on, because you seem to really enjoy, I don't want to say problem solving, but but yeah, I mean, if legitimately, if we're your customer and we have a problem, hey, you know, I'm not understanding what you're saying.
And at the end of the day, that's just me getting to talk to people about the thing that I love. How awesome is that? I can do that
all
day
awesome.
Long.
Yeah, I'm stoked to know that you're going to be taking these little tidbits that you've given us, which are actually meaty, weighty ideas. You know, Six Bits, the podcast, loves giving you all listeners something that you can take away. It's not just time for me to sit and say, hey, I'm knitting this, which is well and good. But I want the podcast to be something to enhance your story. And so I feel like adding a chapter each week of actual PDF content that you can kind of combine. But you're going to be doing that soon, and you're going to have lots of different chapters.
I am. There's a lot more to talk about when it comes to color. I mean, this really is just scratching the surface. And it's all fun. It's not even like, you know, when you were in school, you had to go to math class and science class.
See, I was a geek.
English lit.
I loved school, and I just cried when summer vacation came. I did. I was
but
a kid.
The classes you didn't mind going to, one of them was art, right? Every time, because you just get to play. And so learning about color, it's like the art part of school. It's not not math and chemistry. Well, it is chemistry, but it's learning about this stuff is fun learning. I enjoy learning about it, and then I enjoy sharing it.
Yeah, and I think people love learning more about knitting and yarn and fiber. I mean, we have such a great community of sharers, and having you share with us today is awesome.
It's been fantastic.
Now, a couple of things. You have some things that you're actually involved in. Before we let everybody go, I think it'd be a lot of fun to hear about. One of the things I'm doing is next week I've got another special guest, and she is amazing. And she recently has launched a book. She's published a wonderful book, and I'm not going to tell you who or what the book is, but she knit something using one of your yarns. And next week, listeners will get to meet her, hear a little bit more about her book. And, I am going to have a really fantastic giveaway for them. And I am knitting that giveaway in your Lucina.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. And the Lucina I got from the Yarn Alliance Club, which that was the second club I was in. The first one I was in was the Mini Skein Club. And that's first ever club, except for book clubs. My first yarn club was the Mini Skein Club. And then,
which is such a nice introduction to clubs. It's fun because you get so many different colors and so much stuff to play with. And you don't have to wait very long to get it.
No, you get the club every month.
Yeah.
And then the Yarn Alliance was a gift. I believe it was. I talked my husband into the fact that, hey, you know what? I know you're looking for a gift for me for Christmas. And I remember him saying, no, I'm not. yeah, you are. And he's like, no. And this is back, you know, we lived in Lihue, and I wanted to, you know, go to a local yarn shop, and it was all the way in Hyena, so North Shore. And from where I live, North Shore, is, you know, it's golly gee, on an island, you know, you drive more than 20 minutes, it's the end of the world. And it was a good 45 minutes away. And so I was like, you know, I wouldn't have to drive twice a week up to, up all the way to Chi Young Village and go to Knit Night if I had. And he's like, okay, what is it that you want? And that's when I got the Yarn Alliance Club. Now, this is yarn that I love. The Lucina has little sparkles in it.
Yeah, and it's a really lovely yarn. The sparkles are... they're sparkly, but they're not too sparkly.
No, because I am definitely the anti-bling. If you were to describe me, it would be gray, and plain.
Right.
And maybe not in that order. It might be like gray, plain,
and so this,
gray.
This particular yarn is a real departure for you.
Because yeah, this one's
this is all wine colors and deep and intense, and then has like a little pop of almost cinnamon in it.
Oh, yeah. Now you're scaring me. I was like, oh, wait,
no,
I didn't see
fine.
It.
No, you're fine.
Yes, this is, we're going to, I'm going to call this solidish-ish kind of. This is Mel's solidish. No.
That's not a term we discussed.
No, it's not.
I did not discuss the term solidish. Actually, I'm not even going to tell you what it is because you're
yeah. No, it is. I think this is variegated-ish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is. I'm looking at it and it's like the long variegated length.
It is, but it's very gently variegated. In fact, it is actually atonal. Except for that little touch of cinnamon. But trust me, that cinnamon against those deep burgundy and wine colors, you are going to be fine. Just cast on and keep going.
I
Don't
am.
Worry.
I'm going to knit it in the dark. No, I'm just kidding. But that's from the Yarn Alliance. Just because, you know, listeners have spent some time with you and they might want to connect and they may be looking at these yarns and thinking, oh my gosh, put me on hold as we're talking.
I did not put you on hold. We've been talking so long that my alarm to go pick up my kids has just gone off.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, real quick then, in 2 minutes, this is for real, 2 minutes. Yarn Alliance, people can't get in right now because it's closed until May or March.
Right, the Yarn Alliance, we have two clubs that open only twice a year. Mm-hmm. One is the Yarn Alliance, which is a fingering weight club, and that opens again in March. But next week, on December 4th, our bulky and worsted weight club opens, and it is open only for 2 weeks. And it's perfect because we're going into winter. Well, we're in winter, and that is when you want to knit bulky and worsted weights. And we have so much fun with them. They are smooshy and thick and fabulous.
And the name, hello, Space Monsters. They're so cute.
So that it makes a perfect Christmas gift. And it's a gift that carries on delivering smooshy goodness for the next 6 to 12 months. And it opens on December 4th, and it's only open for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So, and the spaces go pretty quickly, so you got to jump in there.
And
I'm super
monster.
Excited about it opening up.
Now, since we did talk about Yarn Alliance so much and it is closed, there is, though, a contact list, or is that in the PDF where you link both of the Space Monster and Yarn Alliance so people could click on it and find out or go to the blog and or not the blog but the homepage and see.
Yes, I'll make sure that there are links in there, and if you go there and you add yourself to the either the Yarn Alliance mailing list or the Space Monsters mailing list, I always open the club up usually 2 days ahead of time for the people on those mailing lists.
Yes. Okay, good.
So you get early bird, so even if it sells out quickly, you've had the first chance to get on that list.
Well, awesome. Well, you go get your kids. I'm going to say goodbye to you, but I am actually going to record the next segment, which is the giveaway for all those people who have listened to both parts. They are probably chomping at the bit to know what the episode 10 giveaway is.
Okay, but before I go, I want to say something. You were not saying, I know you're keeping a bit quiet about next week's guest, but I want to tell you that next week's guest is one of my most favorite people in the world. She is a ton of fun. So I just want to tell everyone who's listening, make sure you don't miss the next episode.
Oh yeah, she is. She's brilliant. And I'm super stoked. She and I we've been corresponding back and forth, and she's just a delight. And,
yes, she really is.
And the new book is fabulous. Like, I know she offered the podcast. She's like, hey, can I send you one? And I was like, no, I'm going to buy one because it's definitely worth me supporting you as an artist. Look at these beautiful things.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. I think it's just great to see when somebody puts together something that you're just like, okay, I want this. And I'll give everybody a hint because I think you've probably seen it. Her book she says about this book that when she was 8 years old, it kind of draws her back to her 8-year-old self, because there is that ribbon, you know, when you read a book and there's that ribbon that's built in bookmark. It's in her book. So there's a bookmark built. I know, right? I don't know. Like, I love books. And when they make those little taped in there, built in there ribbons that you can mark your place with. And that's in this new book.
Oh my goodness. Is it ridiculous that makes me want the book even more?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And she's, you got to get the book. Hello. Your yarn is in it. And
I know.
I'd be curious to see if anybody had any guesses. Use the hashtag, the one that says six with Steph, and we'll check that and see if anybody can guess who our special guest is.
Absolutely. But well, do tune in, because I know that's going to be a really fun episode.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Stephanie, so much. I appreciate your time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
I am very grateful to Stephanie and to her company, Space Cadet Yarn. I'm thankful that she gave her time for today, and also that she and Space Cadet Yarn have donated a lovely yarn bundle for today's giveaway. So we have two winners to announce, and let's go for it. Winner number one of some extra lovely Buckaloo View yarn. It's the Ultra Fine Alpaca, and it's in a gorgeous walnut. The winner is... Oh, wait. I bet you want to know how this winner is getting the chance to be entered, right? Simply leave an iTunes review for the 6-Bit Storybook podcast, and that is a no purchase necessary kind of entry. You can enter at any time, and winners will be drawn from the very first review to the very last review that has been posted at the time of our pulling of a name. So that's one way. And then another way, we like to reward our subscribers to the 6-Bit Storybook's actual publication is just to randomly select someone. And so winner number one is a subscriber named Claudia Mendelson. Congrats to you. You win the Buckaloo View yarn. I look forward to sending you your skein. And winner number two is the iTunes review from CatKing85, who left this review. She says, "This podcast is beautifully done and such a treat to listen to. Melissa's passion shines through," which, thank you, that's so sweet to say, "and her friendship with Melody is sweet to listen to. I look forward to more episodes." Well, I hope that you are looking forward to getting this terrific gift. You'll be getting a delightful Space Cadet Yarn mini skein bundle, just like the one Stephanie and I chatted about in today's podcast. Both winners, if you could please email me at hellomelissa@sixbitsstorybooks.com to claim your winnings before 30 December 2015. And if you want to enter, just leave a review, no purchase necessary. And for those who have purchased the full year subscription, or even just one issue, which would have been Unearthed, simply tune in December and see if you are announced. It's just that easy. Well, friends, again, thanks so much for this special 2-part edition. Well, thanks, Stephanie, so much for this 2-part edition. And thank you for being here to listen to us. I hope that your day is filled with creative moments that you can slow down and enjoy, and that you are aware of the magnificent moments that you create. My best aloha is to you. And I look forward to joining you next week with my extra special guest. You'll just have to wait and see.